The text I'm looking for is verse 41 of Matthew 5. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Or in the modern saying, as will be said in our English vocabulary, going the second mile. Going the second mile. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Gracious eternal heavenly Father, we thank thee for the word of God. We pray indeed it would bring comfort even to those that are sick. Remember the wife of the Reverend Ivan Foster too in hospital. Just be with her, restore her, we ask. And now, Lord, as we turn to this great striking statement of the Saviour, this statement that seems so strange at first reading, help us to understand it. We ask of thee, for it's in Christ's name we'd ask it. Amen. Going the second mile. When we think of the gospel mission that's soon to come, and the children's mission later in September, and of course the recommencement of various activities and works to do with the church, what a great text our scripture said. What a great principle, a great saying. In other words, we are to be second milers for Christ. Second milers in the work of God. This morning we thought of how Christ humbled himself. How he humbled himself. Humility is an attitude of selflessness. Putting others before ourselves. So often we're controlled by pride. It's the actual idea of behind all sin. The root of all sin. Pride. I. The middle letter of pride. I. I didn't mention this morning an unusual bird called the Mimi bird. There is a bird, and that's what it's nicknamed, somewhere in the South Pacific it lives. It's called the Mimi bird. Actually, I think it's South America, so you have to look it up. South somewhere. But it is definite, it's true, just from memory. I didn't write it down, so my memory, but it's South something. I think it is South America. It was called the Mimi bird because the sound it makes is as if it's saying me, 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 me. I've never seen the feathered kind, but I've seen plenty of others walking about. That is the opposite of true humility. Just think of ourselves. And then, of course, humility is service. And if we say we want to serve God, well, then we serve others. That is serving God, and as much as you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. You serve God by serving others. And then, of course, sacrifice. That's part of humility. Sacrifice. Costing. It cost the Lord Jesus Christ when he humbled himself, the cross. And you know, this is a principle right through the New Testament. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ preached what he practiced. Preached what he practiced. Because he is the one perfect humility. Who in a sense went the second mile and farther. In fact, we could say the greatest journey that anyone has ever made. From the heights of glory down to this earth in order to save us. And all the way to the cross to provide salvation. And we think of how he did that. And that's all through his ministry he said that. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. To give his life a ransom. He made the amazing paradox statement. He that saves his life shall lose it. And he that loses his life shall save it. What did he mean? If we live for self and say, I don't want to give time to other people, forget about them, and you'll try and save your life, you know, you're going to be miserable and you'll lose your life in the sense of you'll not know true joy. But if you lose your life and do obey what humility is, what we talked about this morning, and give your life to the Lord and serve him, then you'll find true joy. But I think that our statement here in our text is the first one in the New Testament where you've got the same principle. Because this idea of going the second mile is the same principle. Now, as I said this morning in Philippians 2, let me underline, this passage is not teaching that we try and do this on our own strength in order to be saved. It's not saying that. We can never be saved by what we do. We cannot be saved by seeking to follow the example of Christ. How many times have you heard some claim to be theological expert on the radio somewhere? Oh, well, I don't go to church or don't follow anything, but I seek to follow Christ's teaching and follow Christ's example, and I'm a Christian. No, hold on a minute. Yes, a true believer is to seek to follow Christ's example, but you don't become a Christian by following Christ's example. Because if we had to be like Christ to get to heaven, there'd be no hope for any of us. Because we're sinners, we can't. But we trust the Lord Jesus Christ who died for us, who came to redeem us. Ah, but once you know Christ as Savior, this is how we ought to seek to live, with the help of the Holy Spirit and by God's grace. And I believe it's the same thought as we talked about this morning in different words. Be a second miler for Christ. Christian, be a second miler for Christ. Go the second mile. Three things about this I noticed as I read it and studied it. You see, the first mile was compulsion. You had to do it. You had to do it. Can you see that in the text? Whosoever shall compel thee. It's compulsion. You have to. But going the second mile, that is a choice. And you know, when something is a choice and not compulsion, it's a joy doing it, isn't it? If you're compelled to do something and made to do it, But my, when you want to do something, makes a difference. Makes a difference when you want to do it. So the second mile is a great mile because it is not compulsion, it's choice. Now, what's he talking about here? When somebody compels you, well, Christ was preaching in the time of Roman occupation. And the Romans, we're told from history, followed the same practice as the Persians, who had conquered a lot of the world some centuries before. That when they conquered a country, and there were many military personnel stationed in that land, if a soldier was carrying a heavy pack, as many of them do, you know that, and if you've been in the army, and sometimes they make the, I have a grandson just in the second week of training for the TA, and no doubt he'll be out with his, 40, maybe they take pity on them, but an old soldier, 60-pound pack out for your run and so on. Well, they're compelled to do it. But here's a soldier, this is what happened in these days. The Roman soldiers, they had power, and under the law of the country, the Romans, of course, being them there, they had a law when they subjugated the land that they could call on any Jewish man and say, here, carry my load, my pack, for a mile. But now, I suppose you could say, tongue-in-cheek, the Romans weren't too harsh. They said, it's only for a mile. The Roman soldier wasn't allowed to force the Jewish man to carry it more than a mile. Had to carry it a mile. Can you imagine how humiliating that was to a Jew? Here, carry my pack, my burden. And that Jewish young man had to carry it. Now, Jewish history, not in Scripture, but Jewish history says that some Jewish men would have marked out a mile exactly and put a marker. He didn't want to carry it another foot more than he had to. So that's the compulsion. They had to do it. And you think of the hate and the anger it would bring. They're in charge. The Romans are in charge. Do you expect us to carry it for those Gentiles? Now, can you imagine the crowd that day? When the master sat down to preach, it says that in the first few verses, by the way, when the crowd gathered, the Savior sat down to speak. Might as well bring that out. You heard me saying it before. Jewish tradition is that when the speaker preached, he sat, and a lot of the congregation stood. Maybe try that some Sunday. They did that on Luther's day. Except the rich, they brought their chairs. But anyway, the Savior is sitting and he's preaching. Can you imagine how a Jewish man responded when the Savior said, now, when a Roman soldier picks on you and compels you to carry his pack for a mile, go ahead and carry it 2 miles. Is he serious? Is he being sarcastic? Is this a joke? I don't even want to carry it 1 mile. What's this all about? Well, we need to delve deeper into it and see what it is. The Lord was serious. Because in verse 20, he said, except your righteousness exceed that of the Pharisees and scribes, you'll not enter heaven. And the Savior was serious. You see, it's interesting. You see, a pagan, an atheist, someone who didn't know the Lord would carry it a mile because they had to. Go down to verse 46. If ye love them which love you, what reward of you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? What I'm trying to bring out from this is, any Jewish man had to do the first mile. But Christ is saying, if you love the Lord, and you're walking with the Lord for His glory, don't just do what you're compelled to do. Don't just fulfill your duty, even when it seems an unpleasant duty, a humiliating duty. Go ahead and go the second mile. Go the second mile. Choose to go the second mile, because even a publican, even a sinner, you see, there's a way to live your life on three levels. We can choose, and many people do, to live it on the hellish level. When people do good to us, we do evil back to them. There's people in society are like that. Someone does them a good turn, what do? They do an evil turn back. That's hellish. But there's the human level that the Lord's talking about in verse 46 and 47, that when somebody does good to us, oh, we do good back to them. That's the human level. That's how society works, isn't it? You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. You do good to me, I'll do good to you. That's the human level. Ah, but those that know the Lord Jesus Christ, those who are the Lord's people, those who've experienced His grace and know that He gave up, as it were, He never ceased to be God, but set aside His glory and praise and came and voluntarily suffered and died in agony and shame in order to save us from hell. We want to be like Him, and therefore we want to live on the heavenly level at Christ's example. And so what's that example? Hellish level to live your life is to do evil to those that do you good. Human level, we do good to those people that do us good. The heavenly level is this: when people do us bad, do good in return. That's the idea of the second mile. If you want to be a follower of me, Christ is saying, when that rough Roman soldier comes and says, here, carry my sack, carry my for a mile, I'll carry it another mile for you out of love for my Saviour. That's what it's talking about here. It's a choice. It's a choice to do that. You see, the first mile, he's like a servant. I have to do this. See, the second mile, he can whistle as he walks, because I'm doing this because I want to do it. Because I've chosen to do it. Not because the soldier's making me do it. I'm doing it because I want to do it for my Lord. That's what it means to be a second miler. To go beyond duty. To go beyond what we're required to do. That brings me to my second point. The first mile, when the Roman soldier would say, you carry my pack for the mile, that was legal. That was the legal mile. Legalistic, if you like. The Pharisees were full of legalism. But when you choose to go the second mile, that's love. That's love. And when something's done out of love, makes a difference, doesn't it? Makes a big difference when you're doing something out of love. Do it out of love. The first one is legal. Even the Pharisees and Sadducees could go the first mile, could do the first thing. But it's going. You see, do you know what they used to do, the Pharisees? They used to get the spices. You know, some of you ladies might have a spice box. I don't recognize them all. We're over on holiday with the family there. My daughter, I saw, they're supposed to, I said, what's that? I think that's Marjorie. That's thyme. Okay. I believed her. But some of you little spice, and some of them are small. And the Pharisees, oh, I'm a tither. I tithe everything. And they used to tithe up the little tiny spices. And they'd pat themselves on the back and say, I've done my duty before God. That's why the Lord condemned them. And the second mile has the idea of, you're not just doing your legal duty, but you're doing something out of love. You're prepared to go further than you would be expected to go. And there's other examples brought out. It's not just walking with a soldier. And that's why in verse 38, you've heard it been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee in thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. Now, I almost feel like preaching a whole sermon on this, because this is one of the most misunderstood texts. I don't want to get political here, but it used to annoy me terribly. I'm going back 10, 15, 20 years ago when I heard foolish people on the radio, oh, well, you know, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and we'd all be blind and all. And, you know, we ought to follow Christ and not follow that old text. Oh, it used to make me furious. I believe in an eye and an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And if you're a Christian who loves the Bible, I do believe in an eye and an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Because here's the meaning of this passage. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth is from the Old Testament law, where God said to the magistrates, the judges, when you sit on the bench, you are to give an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. What that means is this: when you're sitting on the magistrate's bench, you are to be impartial as a judge. Everybody equal under the law. And they may be rich and be able to bribe you, but don't you accept their bribe, and you make sure the punishment fits the crime. In other words, I did believe that terrorists should get an eye and an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That's government. That's why in Romans 13, Paul wrote that the magistrate, he bears the sword against the evildoer, is to be a terror to the evildoer. And it's not unchristian, it's not unloving as a citizen of a country to demand that your government punish evildoers. In fact, it is the Christian thing to demand. That is the Christian thing to demand. Don't want to go down the line, but that author, Rowling, was it J.K. or something, was attacking that because somebody made a statement about that and somebody quoted Romans 13 just saying how terrible, even the devil can quote scripture. How ridiculous. Woman doesn't know what she's talking about. No, well then, what's the verse talking about then? Christ is not saying it's wrong as for a magistrate, but here's what was happening. Pharisees and Sadducees were taking what the government does, their responsibility, and they were saying, oh, the Bible says an eye and an eye, therefore if anybody insults me, I'll give the same back. But you see, the command in the Old Testament wasn't for personal vengeance. The Lord said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. It was only in a government, citizen, nation situation, not individually. That's the idea of it. The Lord wasn't doing away with the judicial law. Well, I've digressed too much, but here's what the Lord said. So when someone insults you, smite you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. What's it talking about? He's saying, look, go the second mile. Here's someone and they're falling out with you and they're trying to hurt you and they're insulting you. Go the second mile to win that person. Go the second mile for out of love for Christ and a love for their souls. Go the second mile. If someone smites you on the right cheek, it's not talking about pacifism. It's not saying if someone comes to attack your home and starts to really thump you that you're not allowed to put up and defend. It's not talking about that. It's not talking about that. In fact, I was going to say try this, but don't try it in the poor children. If you're right hand and you go to smite somebody in the right cheek, think about it. Which cheek would you hit them with naturally? Someone standing, and you'd hit them on the left. Now, if you're not sure you're right or left, try it in the porch. What am I saying? Well, commentators say in Jewish times it was an insult. It wasn't the idea of, you know, actually trying to kill somebody. It's a just like a slap. Not to maim the person, but to insult them. What's the Lord saying? Look, when you're insulted, don't try and get even. You ever met somebody who says, well, I don't get mad, I just get even. No, he's saying, look, for the Lord's sake, don't. Turn the other cheek. Take the insults. You see, in evangelism, and I'm thinking here of evangelism and the mission, you can go out and attempt to win an argument and lose the person. Sometimes there are professed Christians and they've mistook like a court case or a debate to evangelism and go away and get into an argument and both go away angry. It's not evangelism. You see, when Christ's talking about this principle of the second mile, he's talking about evangelism. Because we could take you to other passages such as 1 Peter, where practically over and over again in 1 Peter, he's writing to Christians who have been persecuted and he's saying to them, look, show good works back to those people that hate you. Seek to be kind to them, because you'll win them. That's the way you'll win them. You can win an argument, but lose the person. I remember listening to a tape quite a number of years ago. It must be 20, 25 years ago. It almost brought me to tears listening to it. I'll not go into it in great detail, but true story of a certain man was challenged, and in particular it was his pastor telling about it. A man had been deeply challenged about neighbours and felt he should go and talk to this man, and he went to seek to witness to him. He went back to his house to seek to witness, and the man was a brilliant brain, very intelligent, very articulate, and he started to cut the man to pieces. Oh, you don't believe, the Bible, the evolution, and he was cutting the Christian to pieces. making a fool out of him. And the man felt so ashamed. He felt a failure because he couldn't answer with smart answers and back to the man. But he said to the man, look, I don't want to argue anymore. I can't answer your questions. And with a tear in his eye that was visible, he said, but listen, I love you. And I'm praying for you to come to Christ. And that's why I come round to talk to you. Because you need to know Christ as your Saviour. And I will pray for you. With that he left and he felt such a failure. He told his wife he didn't want any meal. He just wanted to go to his room because he felt this man had tied him in knots with arguments against Christianity and so on. His wife came and said, Mr. So-and-so's at the door. And he went to the door. He said, now, listen, friend, I don't want to argue anymore. The man says, no, I haven't come to argue. When you looked me in the eye and said that you loved me and were concerned and were praying that I would know Christ, you know, that hit me. I'd love to come with you sometime to your church. See, that's going the second mile. That's not saying, that man's insulting me. I'll go soon tell him what I... That's exactly what it means. The Lord, I believe in, is giving examples here. Examples here of what it means. You see, we're told, and I have to hurry on here, there's another point, Romans 12 and 17 talks about recompense no man evil for evil. If it be possible, for as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Avenge not yourselves, neither give place to wrath. Vengeance is mine, I will repay. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If you thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, you'll seek heap coals of fire in his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. I could go down the chapter, but for time I'll not. There are other examples. If someone sue you and you're guilty, well, pay up, just as Zacchaeus did. You remember? He did. When a Christian and others, brothers, sisters in need, go the second mile and give them more. Give of your ability to help them. Of course, we don't give to professional beggars and be foolish in what we're giving. That's verse 42, by the way. Give to him that asketh of thee. Be kind. Go the second mile. In verse 43, when you're abused, thou shalt love thy neighbour and hate thine enemy. No, no. Do good to those. Or back to the same thought. The second mile. The second mile. You see, the second mile is the mile of love. First mile, you have to do it. You're annoyed. How dare they? Second mile, I'll do it out of love. Third thing. The first mile, that's compulsion. You have to do it. That's your duty. Second mile is a wonderful mile. Because you're doing it out of choice. That makes a difference. First mile is legal. Gain is the requirement. Second mile is out of love. But here's a third thing I thought about it. The first mile, of course, is obligatory. But the second mile, by going the second mile, by carrying the Roman soldier's pack, that's an opportunity. It's an opportunity. Do you know, and I'm not a business consultant, you know that, but I do know this. People that have been successful in business or in everyday life, be it study, academia, whatever, it's only those who go the second mile are really successful. Who do more than required. Who go further. Who look for opportunities to do things. That is so, so true in life. Successful people go the second mile. There's a lovely story of Henry Ford. You know, the man that started the Ford cars. You can have any car, any color, as long as it's black. That was his famous statement when he first started producing the Model T. But you know what he did in one of his factories that was not producing well? He went and he got a maintenance team. And he wondered why this particular floor of the factory wasn't all the workers. And he went and he got them to cut a log out of the trees nearby to take the branches of it and to put it in the corridor beside the lift. And you know, for 2 weeks, the workers kept stepping over it into the lift. So at the end of 2 weeks, he sacked everybody on that floor. And suppose you couldn't do that today with labour laws. He sacked them all. Why? Because they weren't. They said, I'm doing an 8 to 5 or whatever it was. So nobody stopped to say, why is this here? It's blocking. Somebody ought to do something or go and report it. They weren't interested. See, they weren't willing to go the second mile. Hardly. You see, anything in life, you got to go the second mile. Devotional life. I was going to speak on Mark. Have you ever thought of reading a book of the Bible at one sitting? We can read biographies, we can read novels, and I'm not saying it's wrong, these things, but you ever sat down and read the Gospel of Mark? It's not very long, a couple of hours. You see, do we go the second mile? Do we put, and what I'm thinking about is witnessing. Witnessing. Going the second mile in evangelism. Chris is going the second mile, I suppose, literally walking round the doors. We'll need to go round the doors to give out invitations. Going the second mile. But bear with me as I give an imaginary scene. Here's a soldier coming, sees a Jewish man. Right, carry my pack for a mile. See you, Romans. Wait till we take over. You wait till our Messiah comes. He'll soon sort you Gentiles out. Now, he'll blast a lot of you and you'll be destroyed. And we'll be the ones ruling and telling you what to do. And he's moaning and he's groaning and he's complaining. And he gets to the mile marker. There you are. But imagine, here's another Jewish man who has followed the Lord Jesus Christ and heard him preach. The Roman soldier says, right, puts on the pack, is walking along. Oh, are you from Rome? How long have you lived in this country? Have you got a family? Oh, and what age are your children? And what did you used to work? And talks. They get to the end of the mile. Listen, a mile ahead there's a lovely well. Can I just walk with you and show you where it is and you can have a drink of lovely water? Here, let me carry the pack for you another mile. Do you not think when they get to the second mile, that soldier might say something like this? You're different. Oh, what is it about you? You're not like the usual Jews we meet. What's different about you? Oh, I met a man called Jesus Christ, and he's God's Messiah, and he's the one who was prophesied would come into the world to go to Calvary, to die for our sins, to be the sacrifice for sins. And he told us we ought to go the second mile. And I'm doing it because I love him. And I want you to come and know the Lord Jesus Christ too. Is that not what going the second mile is? It's an opportunity. Oh, it's an opportunity to go the second mile. I think of Gracia Burnham. Opportunity to meet her. And some of you know the story, some might not, and we don't tell it all. But she was held in captivity with her late husband for a year by the Abu Sarif terrorists in the Philippines. They were missionaries of New Tries Mission. When they were finally released, her husband was killed with a bullet and fell on top of her, and she was wounded in the hip. When you hear her speak about it, tremendous. Some of you read her books, watched her speaking. We met her at a meeting one night. We were, of course, with the same mission. She knew friends of ours, were friends of hers. But it's amazing when she tells in her book, and maybe you've heard her saying it, if you've heard her speak. In that captivity, you know what her husband used to do? As they're walking through the jungles, different firefights with Philippine soldiers and so on. He used to say to some of the captors, some of them young teenagers with their AK rifles, here, can I carry that bag for you? Can I help you carry your haversack? And he used to look at them and, why are you doing this? And Grace just said, many's the night, some of those young terrorists would come and say, why are you kind to us like this? And then I thought, when I was looking at this verse of what we showed last year on the Pearl Harbor anniversary, you remember that Japanese soldier we showed the slides? The one who led the raid against the American in Hawaii there. And that soldier later on met another military man who had become a Christian. He said, what, you a Christian? How did it happen? He said, well, I was in an internment camp. Not a concentration, slightly different. Lois, conditions were terrible. That's where they took people who were non-combatant, but they could still be cruel. And this man who had become a Christian, the Japanese soldier, said, here's how it happened. The commandant ordered the execution of two missionaries, a man and his wife, but not to kill their daughter, young lady. And that young lady kept coming and bringing me, say, can I bring you some water? Can I do this for you? Can I do the other thing? And I said to her one day, why are you being so kind to me? Now, he wasn't the one executing, but he was in Japan. He says, why are you being so kind to we Japanese soldiers? You know what her answer was? Because you killed my mother and father. That's why I'm being so kind. What? He just was baffled. What are you talking about? Are you mad? No, you see, the Lord Jesus Christ told us to love our enemies, to do good to those that despitefully use you. And I'm following the Lord Jesus Christ, and you too can know Christ. And it was through that young lady's witness in the camp that led that man to learn more about the Lord Jesus Christ. We're thinking of the mission. You know, one of the ways to witness is by going the second mile, by seeking to go the second mile to reach somebody. Because the Lord Jesus Christ went the second mile and more for us. When you think of how he left heaven's glory right down to this earth, and he went so far to reach us. Maybe you're here tonight, I don't know, you all, somebody not saved, I wonder. And of course, only the Lord knows the heart. Maybe he's played a long time with us, but we've rejected him. And yet, the Spirit of God goes the second mile. Some of us can profess we're glad that the Holy Spirit went the second mile with us because we heard the gospel and we rejected it. Are you not so glad the Holy Spirit didn't say, well, that's it. You can just go on your way to hell. No, the Holy Spirit went after us and after us. And the Savior and the Holy Spirit are examples to the Christian. Will the Lord lay somebody in our heart? And if need be, we be willing to go the second mile. Not just, oh, are you coming? Here's a tract. That's good. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not criticizing that. But even to get somebody to go the second mile and to go and to keep going after them till they come to Christ. May God help us to go the second mile, for he went the second mile for us.